60 degrees and mostly cloudy skies this afternoon. Good afternoon. It is 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, September 12th, 2013. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. A new preschool is opening in Sitka this fall with the aim of closing the gap in achievement for low-income students. The preschool will be housed in Baranoff Elementary School and will help transition three-year-olds from the existing Head Start program into kindergarten. Members of the team collaborating on the project outlined their plans for the Sitka School Board this week. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The name is going to be a challenge for sure, but if Assistant Superintendent Mary Wagner can get there, so can the rest of us.
So we will learn how to say this correctly.
Everybody in the room, everybody in the community will know how to say it.
And now it's my turn. Wuchinye yigach tune. It means we are all working together. It is the result of a multi-year collaboration between Head Start, the Sitka Native Education Program, the Sitka School District, and the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Wagner told the board that the new preschool was not intended to compete with other programs in the community.
This is to serve students who are currently not enrolled in a preschool. We are working very closely with Head Start. We're using their enrollment process. Although you are not limited to being eligible for Head Start, to be eligible for the Wuchinye Jigachtune program, I'm going to get it.
Wuchinye will operate in Baranoff Elementary and serve 4 to 5 year olds. 3 to 4 year olds will continue to go to Head Start in the Rasmussen Center on the Sheldon Jackson campus. Next year, after work on Pacific High is complete, Head Start will relocate to the Southeast Alaska Career Center building next door to Baranoff. Tristan Gavon, a planner for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, says Wuchinye will roughly double the capacity of the Head Start program to 30 students and possibly more.
So Head Start is still a program run by Clinkett and Haida Central Council. STA and the school district are really bringing their resources to bear. And so rather than having Head Start, you know, again, operating in somewhat isolation, they're going to have support from the tribe and support from the school district.
Gavon and Nancy Douglas, who is now cultural director for the Sitka School District, have done pilot work integrating culture into early education. That partnership between the Sitka Native Education Program and Head Start formed the basis of Wuchinye. People liked it.
And I think families are really excited. One of the big pieces that people are excited about is the cultural enrichment and more opportunity for Tlingit language.
But Gavon also assured the board that cultural education was meant to be inclusive.
Through Tlingit language, we can really focus on, you know, kind of building a sense of identity and a sense of pride in students, and particularly the Native students. Additionally, we'll have a diversely populated preschool, and really it's an opportunity for those Native students to be culture bearers and for non-Native students to learn about the place that they live in and the culture that's been here since time immemorial for thousands upon thousands of years.
About 5 years ago, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska initiated a language revitalization grant from the Administration for Native Americans. Gavon says tribal elders wanted to strengthen early childhood education and integrate culture and language. Wuchinye really got its start then, and with the partnerships that formed around the language revitalization effort. The program is being funded through a pooling of existing resources. The Sitka District is contributing space and special ed support. Head Start is providing staff and transportation. The tribe's education department helped create the model and will support families with social services. The pooling of resources is very intentional, Gavon told the board, and should ensure Wuchinye's stability. He said all involved believe the new preschool was not something that disappears in a year or two. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The new preschool program begins on September 23rd. For more information on the program and how to enroll, you can visit our website, kcaw.org. 12 sophomores from Stanford University are in Sitka this month for a 3-week field course studying human and natural systems in Southeast Alaska. The course is taught by a combination of 4 graduate instructors, visiting Stanford professors, and local experts. It's called a SoCo, or Sophomore College, and it's one of several Stanford SoCos taking place around the country. KCAW's Caitlin Woolsey is a Stanford senior and the SoCo teaching assistant. She sent this audio postcard from what is proving to be a hands-on adventure in higher education.
Students and instructors follow Scott Harris, the Watershed Program Manager for the Sitka Conservation Society, to Indian River for their second field exercise in the fisheries unit of the course. Yesterday, they dissected salmon and got hands-on experience spawning pinks at the Science Center hatchery. Today, they are conducting stream surveys.
So we're doing all sorts of measurements about the stream and the surrounding environment. So we've taken the width measure. We're making like a depth chart of how deep it is going across. We measured the pH. We measured the temperature. We're also doing a gravelometer exercise to figure out the types of gravel. And then we are also going to measure the types of trees that are around the stream side to get a full sense of Indian River and the surrounding environment.
Jana Persky is from the tiny town of New Canaan, Connecticut. She and her peers applied for this field course last spring and were up against over 100 applicants for 12 spots in the class.
My name is Kyle St. Clair. I'm from Fairfax, Virginia.
I'm Tracy Ng. And I'm from Sacramento, California.
I'm Dylan, and I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
I'm really interested in the subarctic and the Arctic, and I like geology, and I like trees and fisheries, and especially how all those things have to do with people and how they influence and are impacted by people.
I'm Rehan, and I'm from Karachi, Pakistan. What surprised me is sort of how well they're managing their resources.
I'm Joey, and I'm from Brooklyn.
And what do you think the main takeaway for you is so far?
That in order to successfully conserve the environment, you have to take an approach that considers all players in the environment and not take any shortcuts.
My name is Anna Wiedelman. I'm from Oakland, California. It's incredible to see a community like Sitka where it seems like everyone is really interested and invested in maintaining this sustainable interaction with the nature around Sitka, and that's really cool to see this sort of, like, it still exists in the U.S. There's places like Sitka that have such a strong sense of community, and that's so cool to see.
Okay, now 64. I have transect 3 here.
Sweet. And this is 4.
Back in the Science Center, warm and dry, fieldwork transitions into data analysis as the class begins to decipher their salmon habitat comparison. Everyone involved in the class seems to really enjoy hands-on learning.
My name is Zach. I am one of the graduate student instructors. I work on polar biology. So, yeah, I'm having a ball in the fisheries unit. But tomorrow we get to move on to my pride and joy, which is energy.
These are Stanford students, but their fieldwork isn't all serious academics. Dylan has learned how to play a PVC pipe, originally intended for measuring stream depth.
All right, I call this one Toccata in PVC minor.
By the end of the 3 weeks, the 12 visiting students will have learned about forests, fisheries, energy, and tourism, and how all four resources overlap with each other and intertwine with the natural environment.
My name is Aaron Furr, and I'm from Monroe, Washington.
What's your impression of Alaska?
I love it here. It's gorgeous, and I really want to come back someday.
What would you do if you came back?
I'd like to try fishing on a commercial fishing boat, but I also really want to travel around and see the rest of Alaska, and I really want to experience an Alaskan winter.
Reporting in Sitka from the Stanford Sophomore College, I'm Caitlin Woolsey.
Southeast seine fishermen have finished up their record-breaking pink salmon harvest for the year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game earlier this week announced that directed pink fishing was closed. Weekly pink catches dropped off fairly fast at the end of each season, and this year was no exception, according to the department's regional management coordinator, Dan Gray.
We look at those last few openers as kind of halving every opener as you move on. So when it went from, 9 million harvest approximately down to 4 to 2 to 1, and then I think the last one was about 400,000, we knew it was all but done, and fishermen were done with it, and the processors were done with it, and so we just kind of wrapped it up.
It will be a while before the department has all of the data for a final count, but according to preliminary estimates, Gray says that seiners landed 85.5 million pink salmon. Trollers and gillnetters caught an estimated 2.4 million more for a total of 87.9 million.
It is an all-time record, beats 1999. Yeah, it was the biggest one ever.
Southeast commercial fishermen caught 77.8 million pinks in 1999. Pink salmon escapement, that's the number of fish making it back to the streams to spawn, has been very good around the region this year, according to Gray. The lack of rain has been a concern for the department, which has seen some localized pink salmon die-offs. However, fall typically brings more rain, and Gray is confident the big pink returns will make up for the losses.
I still think there's enough fish staging in the intertidal areas that are going to backfill anything that's killed at this point. There's just a lot of pink salmon there. There were still reports when we closed that there were some small areas where they were still catching bright fish.
This year's price for seine-caught pinks averaged around 40 cents a pound. The biggest catches were in southern southeast.